Hello, this is Arnett McEntee of the Family Bible Hour. I'm delighted you've requested our tape with the four messages given this month by Boyd Nicholson. It is our prayer that as you listen again to the message and as you follow the study outline, that you'll receive a very special blessing. Today, Mr. Nicholson speaks on the subject, the Praise Psalm. This was a meditation given on program 1852 of the Family Bible Hour, and you're enjoying it from our cassette 94. May the Lord bless you in His own special way as you study with us.
Thank you, Arnett. Let's ask God's blessing on the program today. Oh God, our Father, we thank Thee Thou art good and doest good, and we are the recipients of all Thy goodness. In Christ Jesus, we pray that Thy goodness may lead many to repentance and faith today as we proclaim Thy word. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It was Shakespeare that wrote the following lines. Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. Freeze, freeze, thou bitter sky, thou art not so nigh as benefits forgot. It's characteristic of the human heart to take for granted the goodness of God while daily enjoying His benefits, then to forget that every good and pleasant gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. It's so easy to forget that every benefit we enjoy comes to us by His matchless grace. In the first chapter of Romans, we read of a people that plunged to the very depths of moral degradation until God Himself gave them up. Where did their downward plunge begin? We read that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. The thankless spirit leads to godless behavior, and if not checked and remedied, will result in the judgment of God. The 92nd Psalm opens with these words. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. There are millions who this very day have forgotten that all they have and all that they are and all that they enjoy comes down to them as a benefit from the God of heaven. The prophet Daniel said to an ancient king, "The God in whose hand thy breath is." The very breath we breathe is a gift from God. Every heartbeat He hands us one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. All He has to do is close His hand upon that breath, switch off that faithful heart that has pumped from the day our life began, and our life on earth will cease, and there's not a team of experts will keep us here when God says, "Come out and meet me now." We read also that God gives power or strength or ability to get wealth. The very job we work at, the abilities that we have to earn our income, the paycheck we pick up are all gifts that began in the heart of God. All He has to do is to touch a nerve in our brain or spine, and we will never work again. Yet so many take these benefits for granted. They never lift their eyes to heaven to give God thanks or praise. There are many warnings in the Bible against this kind of spiritual arrogance. In Deuteronomy 8, the Lord warned His people of the danger of forgetting God. He says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgment and His statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and gold is multiplied, all thou hast is multiplied, and thy heart be lifted up, thou forget the Lord thy God." Here is the danger of forgetting God. When might we forget God? We may forget God when we have comfortable homes to live in, when we have more than we need, when we have eaten and are full. How do we show that we have forgotten God? According to this chapter in Deuteronomy, it is by not obeying His word, by being haughty and self-occupied, living for self. We give evidence we have forgotten the Lord by thinking that we have made it by ourselves. that all our benefits are the result of our own hard work, our good fortune, when in fact every blessing comes from God. We see the great danger then of this thankless spirit. But as we go on in the book of Psalms, we come to the 103rd Psalm, our subject for today, really. Here we have a psalm for the praise of God and appreciation of his blessings. We are to return thanks to him. We read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." This was the call of God through his servant David, that we should respond in praise to the Lord for his goodness to us. Not only material and physical benefits, but spiritual blessings come from God. The third verse of the 103rd Psalm says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Here is a great blessing, the forgiveness of iniquity. What is iniquity? There are three important words in the Bible God uses to describe evil. One of these is transgression, that is, going beyond the limits of the law. God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness," and so on. But man in his rebellion goes beyond the limits of the law, that is, transgression. Then there's the little word, sin. Sin means to fall short of a standard. God has set a standard, and that standard is Christ. He is the glory of God. And in Romans 3, we read, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's what it means to have sinned. But then there's this word, iniquity, and iniquity means deviation. God says, "This is the way I want you to walk," but man says, "I have my own way, thank you. It's a way that seems right to me." And so they refuse to obey the Lord and follow his way. Read this in Isaiah 53. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him," Christ, "the iniquity of us all." That's what iniquity is. Deviation from the path of God. Transgression, then, going beyond the purposes of God. Sin is falling short of the perfection of God, and iniquity is deviation from the path of God. We can see then that it is essential that if we're going to have fellowship with God, our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities must be dealt with and forgiven. We learn from this psalm that the source of all forgiveness is the Lord himself. No man, be he priest or preacher, can forgive sins. All sin is first against God. It is his holy character and law that have been violated. Therefore, only he can pardon the sinner. This pardon is not bought by silver and gold, but made possible through the shedding of the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. Christ died for our sins, the Bible says, and all who will take God's way, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be their Savior, will have their sins forgiven and be made ready for the presence of a holy God. We read in the 8th verse of this psalm about the character of this God whom we are to praise. We read, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Now, what is mercy? Mercy is holding back from us what we rightly deserve. Sin brings its consequences. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We deserve the judgment of God for our sins, but God is merciful, holds back that judgment, and extends his grace and love to us. If we will repent and believe the gospel, we will obtain his forgiveness for our sins and be ready to meet God. We read also, he is gracious. If mercy is holding back what we rightly deserve, grace is imparting to us what we do not deserve. The grace of God is that attribute of God's nature whereby he satisfies his own love for sinners by showing them his undeserved favor, with no reference whatever to our successes or failures. He showers his love upon us on the basis of the great finished work of Christ upon the cross. We read in Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace that we are saved." Those two beautiful verses, verse 8 and 9, read like this: "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God is gracious. We read also that God is slow to anger. But be not deceived, he will get angry. We read that the day will come when the Lord himself will rise up in judgment against those who have rejected him, despised his love, and trampled underfoot the precious blood of his Son. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, the psalmist has reminded us of the bounty of the blessing of God, the multitude of his benefits towards us. He has spoken of the extension of his mercy and his matchless grace. In the 15th verse of the psalm, he reminds us of the brevity of our lives. "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more." The lesson is obvious, simple, and challenging. God has been good to us in a thousand ways. We have forgotten God and all his benefits and lived our own way. Nevertheless, he extends his mercy and shows his grace. But the day will come when he will get angry with those who reject that love and despise his offer of salvation. In this psalm, the Lord is presented as the Lord of hosts, seeking the praise of his creature. He's seen as the sovereign seeking the homage of his subjects. But he's seen in the 13th verse as a father pitying his children and longing to bless them further. But we cannot be a child of God until we're born into his family. And we are born from above when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him, the Son of God, who died on the cross for the ungodly. Dear listener, are you burdened with sin today? Are you caught up in the spirit of this age, a bondage to its materialism and godless, thankless rebellion? Oh, flee to Christ. Turn to the living God and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we come to the close of the program. And his promise is, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." The psalm concludes with a great paean of praise to the Lord. The angels are called on to bless the Lord. The hosts of heaven are called on to bless the Lord. The servants of God are called on to bless the Lord. And all the works of the Lord in every place of his dominion are called to bless the Lord. Then the psalmist, conscious of the joy of his own sins forgiven, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." If you will obey the gospel, dear listener, you will join that unnumbered host of heaven and earth who lift their hearts and voice in praise to the God of grace and mercy and loving kindness, to enjoy his benefits through everlasting days. May it be so for you, for his name's sake. O God, we pray thy blessing upon thy word, that many will turn to righteousness through faith in Christ and enter in to the blessings of eternal joy in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.